James Reese drifts alone across the Atlantic aboard the aptly named Bitter Harvest, a man haunted by ghosts. The physical storm battering his vessel mirrors the emotional tempest within. Waves crash against the hull just as memories assault his consciousness. Having completed his bloody campaign of revenge against those responsible for his family's murder, he now exists in limbo, diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor and nothing left to live for except the rhythm of the sea. "I'll be joining you soon," he whispers to his deceased wife Lauren and daughter Lucy after waking from nightmares, reaching for weapons that aren't there. The irony isn't lost on him. A man with deadly skills and nowhere to be, possessing absolute freedom but feeling utterly trapped by grief. During storm-tossed nights, he finds himself laughing maniacally at the absurdity of his situation, a highly trained SEAL operator reduced to the mercy of nature. Yet even in isolation, Reese finds fleeting moments of peace. When he catches a yellowfin tuna, his mood lifts with the nourishment. Looking at the night sky, he remembers telling Lucy to look at the brightest star when he was deployed. These memories both comfort and wound. What drives him forward? Simply the next immediate goal. Just make it to breakfast, then to lunch. Keep moving forward, he tells himself, breaking down existence into manageable chunks just as he once did in Bud's training. Without a mission, without a team, without family, Reese exists in a liminal space between life and death, each nautical mile representing another step away from his violent past, yet bringing him no closer to resolution. While Reese drifts across the Atlantic, Vasily Andronov, the puppet master, unleashes terror across Britain. This former GRU colonel now manipulates global events from exile. His attacks maximize psychological impact. A Christmas market bombing, followed by gunmen creating deadly bottlenecks. Mortar fire decimating troops at a military ceremony. A drone assassinating the NATO Supreme Commander before his wife's eyes. Simultaneously, hackers spread false terrorist reports, keeping shoppers home during holidays and collapsing retail sales alongside exchange-traded funds, creating a financial crisis worse than 2008. Andronov's danger lies in exploiting democracy's freedoms as weaknesses. He recognizes modern nations' vulnerability to economic terrorism and political manipulation. His network includes Oliver Gray, a compromised CIA analyst, terrorist Amin Nawaz, and Jules Landry, a sadistic CIA contractor with a hidden criminal past. His ultimate goal? Create enough chaos to position himself as Russia's new leader while enabling Ukraine's annexation with minimal international resistance. After 96 days at sea, Reese reaches Mozambique's Niassa Game Reserve, where Rich, his friend's uncle who operates safaris, welcomes him despite his fugitive status. Rich hires Reese to scout a new hunting block, explaining they fight two types of poachers: locals seeking bushmeat, and syndicates harvesting elephant ivory for Asian markets. Their approach combines patrols with community support through employment and meat distribution. Reese applies his military expertise to map poaching patterns and repurposes a client's abandoned drone with thermal imaging into an anti-poaching tool. The wilderness transforms Reese physically: sun-streaked hair, chest-length beard, and darkened skin. His body grows lean and hardened from constant activity, reminiscent of his Bud's training. During an encounter with a magnificent bull elephant, Reese realizes he's genuinely smiling and feeling alive for the first time in months, contemplating rebuilding his life in Africa. When poachers shoot his tracker Solomon, Reese risks exposure by rushing him to the hospital, prioritizing another's life over his own safety. Reese's peaceful life is disrupted when CIA officer Freddie Strain reveals that terrorist attacks were orchestrated by Amin Nawaz, with Reese's friend Mohammed Farouk possibly involved in the NATO commander assassination using their jointly developed drone technique. Strain offers a deal: help find Mo to locate Nawaz, and everyone who helped Reese gets presidential pardons. refuse, and they all face prosecution. He also delivers shocking news. Reese's tumor is operable with a 75% survival rate. Reese agrees, postponing surgery until after the mission, choosing responsibility over waiting to die. At a CIA black site, Reese trains with Freddie and Majid, a former extremist turned scholar. When operatives with American equipment attack, they realize the agency isn't fully trustworthy. They eliminate the attackers, but Majid dies protecting Reese from a suicide bomber. In Istanbul, under an alias, Reese conducts surveillance until he's abducted and brought to Mohammed, who reveals he's been working for the CIA all along. Instead of treating Mo as a terrorist, Reese proposes using him as a pseudo-terrorist asset to infiltrate Nawaz's network, a strategy inspired by the Rhodesian Cello Scouts. Intelligence leads the team to Odessa, Ukraine, where both American and Russian presidents will attend a diplomatic summit. They uncover a plot. Snipers will assassinate Russian President Zubarev, while terrorists release Novichok nerve agent through catacombs, creating pretext for Russia to invade Ukraine. The assassination proceeds as planned. Snipers fire at Zubarev from a distant freighter, with one shot striking him. As Secret Service evacuates the U.S. president, one sniper executes his partner, revealing himself as General Yedid's double agent. Reese receives intelligence about the nerve agent attack and races toward the catacombs with Agent Shear. After an ambush wounds Shear, Reese transforms into a warrior before her eyes. Inside the catacombs, instead of destroying the terrorist's industrial fan, Reese reverses its direction, pulling the nerve agent back toward them as they flee. When Reese emerges, he learns Freddie has been killed protecting the president. He kneels beside his fallen teammate, a devoted husband and father who made the ultimate sacrifice. At CIA headquarters, Rodriguez explains Andreyev's plot. The Novichok would have killed 200,000 people, justifying Russian military action and positioning Andreyev as Russia's new leader. With Rafe's help, Reese tracks down Andreyev in Basel, Switzerland. From a rooftop, he fires an anti-armor rocket at Andreyev's convoy, killing him instantly. Later aboard Rafe's jet, they toast Freddie with his favorite bourbon. To those before us, to those amongst us, to those we'll see on the other side. The ripple effects spread widely. Federal agents raid lobbyist Stuart McGovern's Florida home, who had been promoting Andreyev as Russia's next president while positioning himself to become America's trade minister. On Christmas night, Freddie's widow Joni receives documentation of a $4.17 million trust fund for their special needs son, Sam, Reese's reward money from the British government. In Athens, Reese confronts General Yedid, extracts information about remaining conspirators, then poisons him with Novichok-laced vodka, watching without remorse as he dies. With new intelligence, Reese sets his sights on Russia. His journey has come full circle. From a man adrift to a warrior with purpose. Though still haunted by loss, Reese has found meaning in bringing justice to those who cause suffering. The true believer isn't just the terrorist, but Reese himself, a man who believes in justice at any cost.